Tell your smartphone to smarten up. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. On demand.
For the second time this week, there has been a brutal and violent attack on our soil. Attacks on our security personnel and on our institutions of governance are, by their very nature, attacks on our country. But let there be no misunderstanding. We will not be intimidated. Canada will never be intimidated. In fact, this will lead us to strengthen our resolve and redouble our efforts and those of our national security agencies to take all necessary steps to identify and counter threats and keep Canada safe here at home. Sundown
in the Paris. Good morning, 702, Brady and Walker. That, of course, our Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, yesterday in a late afternoon, early evening address to the country. It's Brady and Walker. Greg, your reaction, your day-to-day, I guess, what did it look like yesterday for you? As things start coming down, and of course, we all get transfixed, but we watched Peter Mansbridge, who's going to join us this morning on CBC. We followed it on Twitter, which sometimes is dangerous as well.
Yeah, really dangerous sometimes. Very. It was a good day, and I made it, and I think you and I made concerted those separate efforts early on to say, not going to get into anything with anybody. I'm going to follow along here, get a sense of what's real and what's not, and try and determine things. Yet I've got my wife who's at work at the Globe and Mail, and she's telling me, well, it's not just Parliament Hill. There's shots that have been fired at the hotel and maybe the mall also. And I'm going, we may have three separate gunmen, four separate gunmen. You really had to take your time and let it breathe. And again,
things can really go south.
I didn't enjoy, obviously, some of the images, even watching some of it this morning where Corporal Nathan Cirillo, there's people crowded around him giving him CPR. It's a reality. But also, we mentioned every time 9/11 comes around, you can't help but watch the footage. And there's the towers going down, and there's the initial two plane crashes into it, and being on the air while that was happening, trying to decipher this is a live microphone. I don't have a delete button. What do I want to say about this? And I have a lot of things I want to say about this, and I won't get them all in today, I don't think, but I don't know how we go forward and not see it as I don't think the terrorists win, if you will, if we tighten security around Parliament. I don't think it's wrong to talk about the fact that that's not right, that someone can walk right into that building. We don't want to go through metal detectors at malls, right? We don't want metal detectors even in our schools like you have to have all over the place in the States. But we also want our politicians and the people that run our country to feel extremely safe going to their jobs. Something's got to be done about that. Beyond the tragedy, beyond the possible political implications and sociological implications of what happened yesterday, I want our people who make our decisions, whether I agree with all the decisions or not, to be safer. I'll put it that way.
705, Brady and Walker. John Stahl, political reporter, 680 News. He'll join us in a few minutes and give us the latest on this investigation, what's happening today. See if you agree with this or if you feel differently, because this was my lasting impression yesterday. Now, Corporal Nathan Cirillo passes away, very sad, 24 years old, young father. And it was really tough to watch, and those images were really tough to watch. Yeah. Now, that said, I mean, bad things happen, right? They do. We're used to it. Not overly used to it, but they do. And sometimes there's nothing you can do about it. People will be killed in major metropolitan centers today and tonight, and bad things do happen. This thing yesterday, and the reason it's so big and we're still talking about it, it was not about body count, right? Because two people passed away and one of them was the assailant. It's not about body count. It was about the whole symbolism of the thing and how we feel about ourselves as a country. This was an unarmed guard, you know, guarding a monument that we feel is important.
Yeah.
without live ammo in his rifle in a place where people play frisbee on the lawn, right? It's the same as I grew up in a small town. I left my car unlocked with the keys in the ignition in the driveway. That's how we feel.
That was part of the kind of the whole plot line of, if it can be, you can have a plot line of documentary Bowling for Columbine. Here's Michael Moore. Hey, Canadians leave their doors unlocked. They trust each other, right? They're good neighbors to each other, and you don't feel that way necessarily in the States. Our friend from CBC News, chief correspondent, joins us now, Peter Mansbridge. I know you've heard this, but all we can do is say you did a fantastic job yesterday. It's not a easy thing to navigate and negotiate and just to delineate also what's real and what you can go with and what you can't. But we obviously have great admiration for your work. I know it wasn't an easy day to do what you do yesterday.
No, it was a difficult day for everybody involved in covering that story. And there was, you know, in our case, it was great teamwork. But, you know, a lot of media organizations, look how the Globe did with a reporter caught right in the middle of all that and the pictures that Josh Wingrove managed to get of all this happening. Difficult day and an incredible story.
I'm younger, but I'm no stranger to terrorism, but I'm young for all that was happening with Quebec nationalism. I wonder if you could speak to that a little bit. Do we as a collective country, Peter, feel differently about that now? Did yesterday hit even closer to home than everything that happened with the FLQ in the 60s? Everything, it was a fearful place to be in Quebec for the late 60s. You didn't know what was coming and when it was coming, and we had that sense yesterday in Ottawa.
Well, we did have that sense yesterday. I mean, the War Measures Act and what we saw unfold on the streets of Quebec City and Montreal and Ottawa at that time was unlike anything this country had seen before. Incidents have happened since 1970, but nothing like what we witnessed yesterday. I mean, you think about what happened here. We had, you know, an attack on kind of the soul of our remembrance, right, of the National War Memorial, with that young corporal who was gunned down, standing, you know, remembering and in honor of Canada's war dead. And then right in the heart of our democracy on Parliament Hill, you'd have another, you know, lengthy gun battle right in the corridors along the Hall of Honor, right outside the Parliamentary Library. I mean, it's staggering when you consider what happened and where it happened. And I think that, you know, we wake up today a different country than we woke up yesterday. You know, we're still free and an open society and a democratic country. And yet what we saw happen yesterday it will change a lot of people forever.
CBC's Peter Mansbridge joins us. Brady Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. There's a lot of information that gets thrown out there yesterday, right in the middle of it, in the hysteria, and it's easy to be irresponsible with things. And we look at you, and I was watching CBC yesterday, and you are one of those voices of calm. How do you delineate at the time, you know, to not overreact to things and make sure that the country is getting the proper info?
Well, you keep in mind and you share with your audience that on days like that, a lot of information is going to come your way and not all of it's going to be right. And you try to, you know, handle it very carefully. You know, nobody really remembers who was first on these things, but everybody remembers who was wrong. And, you know, that's kind of the guide to us. We all make mistakes on days like that. An understanding audience will appreciate that you're trying to take them along the path of a story that's going to be constantly changing. And, you know, there were all kinds of rumors coming out on this story during the major hours of the event. Some of them turned out to be true. Some of them turned out not to be. But they were coming at times from, you know, what we consider official sources, you know, officers on the beat, on the street, trying to deal with the situation. So, you know, you just have to assume that your audience understands that you're in a highly fluid situation and things are going to change, and sometimes that includes what you consider to be the facts. But, you know, we all try to remain as calm as possible at a time like that and walk people through the story as we see it.
Peter Mansbridge, our guest. I don't know how you reacted and when you got off air Monday talking about the incident that happened and this awful story with the two Canadian soldiers run down Monday. But we never think there's a next step. We never think there's, pardon the phrase, another shoe to drop. Did you start to think more about that incident, the tragic scope of it, yesterday as this was developing, saying it's the RCMP had investigated this man, they had even tried to arrest him and couldn't find anything that would stick, and then this happens?
Well, you know, what we the more the details became public about what had happened Monday, who the person was, and the fact that they had been monitoring him, as you say, but also that there were at least another 90 people who were similar mm-hmm. to that, who they were monitoring. You have to be concerned about what could happen next. And that's, you know, that's no different this morning than it was on, after the events in Quebec. So, you know, the security services are saying, look, we're trying to follow these people, and there are indications today that they're going to have to take a much more aggressive line and given the powers to do that. But, you know, this is a very delicate situation we're in, and the issue of homegrown terror, which we have been following closely at the CBC for the past couple of years, seems to have gone through a transformation in this last little while, where some of these young radicalized men whose goal, whose aim was to get overseas to conduct their activities, now appears to be switching to they don't have to go overseas.
Well, yeah.
They can do it here. And that's a very ominous turn.
I mean, I just started to think out loud yesterday watching your coverage, saying, well, if we take their passports, then they're here. And that's not ideal for anybody if they're people we should be concerned about. You've crystallized it exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dilemma for everybody involved in this story in terms of trying to deal with it, from government to security forces. And the more you talk to the different people involved, the different opinions you get on how best to try to deal with this. We're in the middle of this now, and how it unfolds is still very much anybody's guess.
Well, thank you for joining us this morning. We always appreciate it. We like talking to you, and thank you for what you do as well. Yesterday was really good.
All right, Andrew, Greg, thank you.
It's Peter Mansbridge, chief correspondent for CBC News and The National, who on air from borderline 11 a.m. until closer to 4 p.m., an incredible run. And again, processing it all, making sure it all stays straight. And you know what? We do this in the sports world, and some people make their reputations on it. He nailed it. I wish everyone who ever wants to practice journalism, or even people now, Andrew, who practice it, because there's a little bit of journalism still in what we do. We're supposed to entertain. We're supposed to inform, yada, yada. Get it right, because you'll remember if you get it wrong. People are going to remember if you blow it, but they won't remember if you were 10 seconds after somebody and you got it right. And yesterday was an incredibly, incredibly difficult day to make sure you got it all right at the given time, given all the different reports and everything that was filtering through social media. It's a dangerous place to be sometimes.
Good stuff from the CBC's Peter Mansbridge on Brady and Walker. We want to send you, coming up next week, to the ACC. Toronto takes on the Buffalo Sabres. It is Brady and Walker's ticket window, courtesy of the Great Blue Heron Casino. We gave you a clue at 6:14. We'll give you another clue at 8:14 in your chance to win. Here is clue number two. Tell us who this player is, was instrumental in the trade that brought Larry Murphy to Toronto in the mid-90s. Your next clue coming up at 8:14, courtesy of the Great Blue Heron Casino. Nick Kiprios going to join us at 7:22. Have the Edmonton Oilers figured things out? Two wins in a row. You can catch the Penguins and the Red Wings tonight on Sportsnet 360.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. keep it here for more Brady and Walker, only on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Obviously respect the league's decision to cancel the game. Today's events far outweigh a hockey game. We look forward to coming back and playing the game when they see fit to reschedule it.
Swiss GM Dave Nonis yesterday, the National Hockey League, kind of got ahead of the game, postponing the Ottawa Senators and the Toronto Maple Leafs. No date yet when this game will be made up. Leafs will take on the Boston Bruins at the ACC coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, like we said, there just aren't many right answers, and people can yell and scream about, hey, this event shouldn't happen and this shouldn't go up. I'm being serious. Tell people what you did yesterday late afternoon. What'd you do?
I went and got a haircut.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Are you not supposed to get a haircut?
Right. People know. Right. Like, the phrase that gets overused, well, we'll ask Kiprios about this, and we'll talk about the Leafs as well, but the phrase gets overused is, boy, you know, it really brings things into perspective. You're supposed to have that perspective anyway. You're supposed to have it. Yeah, you know what? The hockey game last night, the phrase overused, you know, guys, it doesn't matter. We know. And guess what? It didn't matter before yesterday happened either. My hair doesn't matter, but I still went for a haircut because there's an element of normalcy to it.
I told you 2 days after 9/11, it was a Thursday night, we get together about 10-11 of us, and we play our roller hockey, right? I know it's roller hockey, but we get together on September 13, 2001. And I remember feeling so weird driving there. I'm thinking, this is the first time I've gone anywhere except to the grocery store, the gas station, or my house in 48 hours. And you've been watching TV and people looking, 3,000 people died, okay? And you don't know what's coming next. No, airlines aren't flying at that point. You felt really weird doing something and just going, I feel like doing it. Sorry, I want to be ready. And we're gonna get there. But I don't doubt yesterday was sad. We're not trying to, you know, misconvey the emotion that we all had yesterday about it. Nick Kiprios was on the air for Hockey Central. NHL and Sportsnet Insider brought to you by Sicily Honda. Everybody goes through these things, don't they, Nick? You're a dad. That gives you perspective as well. And an obvious call not to play the game yesterday. But if the Sens were hosting a game tonight instead of Saturday, I just don't – the right call is the right call. People shouldn't yell and scream about it one way or the other.
Yeah, I don't think there's any right or wrong answer. That only comes within and how you want to deal with things. And some people want to stay busy. Others want to just kind of sit back and you know, deal with it in their own way. And that's totally an individual thing. It was kind of strange feeling going into Hockey Central at noon, not knowing all the details and wondering, okay, like, am I needed? Should I be in this situation? This has gone from a hockey show to obviously a news show in many ways. I thought Darren Millard did an excellent job, and the decision for myself and Doug McClain to, you know, stay within the show but keep obviously our comments minimal based on our lack of knowledge, you know, in the circumstances. But hey, you know what, you make it up as you go along. You know, the only comparison I had in my career was we were on, like, we played on high alert, you know, during that Gulf War with the U.S.
The 1991 season. Yeah, the invasion of Iraq. Yeah, you're
exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And I got to tell you, boys, you know, prior to that, I really didn't know CNN existed. And then all of a sudden, you know, through that, you could spend as much time as you want in front of the television and absorb all of that. But, you know, that's a big thing now for everybody is, you know, having that access. And you can have, again, it's an individual thing. You can have as little or as much access as you want, you know, as a listener and a viewer, and that's obviously changed the scope of how people deal with it on a minute-to-minute or daily basis.
Nick Kiprios joins us, Brady Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Leafs and Sens canceled last night. We did have the Red Wings the Penguins and the Flyers on Sportsnet 360. You watched the game. We're talking a little bit about what the Penguins' perception is. I think we all kind of look at Marc-Andre Fleury with an inquisitive eye because of what happens in the playoffs, and talked about Chris Letang a little bit as well this morning. He was a -3 last night. Where are we right now on his place among you know, NHL defenseman and this Penguins club going forward?
Well, I don't think the Penguins are in any different position than they've been in the last few years. They're a top-rated team in the Eastern Conference, but I think it's safe to say that we look at the Western Conference not in the same light as the Eastern Conference, and despite what happens and how the decks shuffled coming out of the East, that we'll always look at the West as the superior team or teams, especially when you look at the top three with, you know, the likes of, you know, Chicago, St. Louis, L.A., Anaheim, take your pick. But, you know, Pitt's a team that will make some noise, and I think they're off to a decent start, and Sid looks good, and, you know, you mentioned Letang. I don't think Letang will change much from here on in his career. A great offensive threat, a guy that can quarterback the power play, a guy that can join up on the rush but can get a little lost in his own zone. And there will be nights when he's minus three, but I think Pitt kind of knew that when they signed him to that long-term deal, and the upside is that Sid has a premier defenseman that can lug the mail and get involved and quarterback a power play. And that's good enough for them moving forward.
Nick Kiprios, our guest. Don't forget, Dale Hunter will join Hockey Central at 12:15 today, the head coach and co-owner of the London Knights. We've got Penguins, Red Wings on Sportsnet 360 tonight at 7:30. The Oilers beat the Caps last night. First regulation loss for the Caps. I take it they can breathe a little bit easier in Edmonton. The issues are still the issues, but they're getting pucks going to the net that are going in that weren't going in, and they're getting saves from their goalies they weren't getting a week or two ago.
Yeah, you're right. More importantly, they're keeping the puck out, and those first four games was atrocious in terms of not providing what you need to win hockey games. And then it's all changed in the last three games. Scrivens has given up, I think, five goals in three games. And now all of a sudden you mentioned the timely goals. Justin Schultz gets involved last night. Nikitin scores the game winner. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden now that tide's turned a little bit. I think they got four more at home now coming up. And the next one's Carolina. So they shut down the premier scorer on the planet in Stamkos and then Ovechkin. Now do you kind of let your foot off the gas pedal a little bit here against Carolina, or do you keep the ball rolling? But I don't know. It's just you hate to say that, the old cliche about your best players, but all of a sudden Nugent Hopkins looks good again. And, you know, Taylor Hall's been off to a good start. I don't know what they're going to end up doing with Eberle. We discussed this last night. He's the one guy that you could trade and get, you know, instant value back. Yakupov, we're not sure what he is just yet, but Eberle is a guy that a few teams would love to have, a legitimate 35-goal scorer, and I think that's the guy, and I've said it for almost a year and a half, 2 years, to turn this thing around.
Yeah,
that's the one guy you got to move.
Nick, thanks so much for this. We'll be listening and watching at noon. Appreciate your perspective this morning.
Okay, guys, have a great day.
Nick Kiprios, excellent stuff. NHL and Sportsnet Insider brought to you by Sicily Honda. Again, Darren Millard, who was excellent yesterday. I tuned it in, was flipping back and forth between that and the National and CBC News World to get some perspective on this. Hockey Central at 12 noon today on Sportsnet Ontario.
Oilers Caps, it was a really good one on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. Real quickly, I do want to elaborate on that. I think Kipper's right on the money. I think he was ahead of the curve. As for a long time, when you asked that question about the Edmonton Oilers, you need to, it's real easy to say, break up the core and you got to trade one of these guys. But which one, right? Mm-hmm. Taylor Hall is the superstar. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is the centerman. And we all, as Canadians, have this little trust factor thing with Jordan Eberle, because he's the clutch guy. He's the guy that, God, if that team could ever get in the playoffs, why couldn't he be the Glenn Anderson of the group,
that he'd
right?
be a big player on that team. Yeah.
But I agree with Kipper. I like Jordan Eberle, but they're at the point where if you dealt him and improved your team elsewhere. Is that not the right thing to do?
And what does a contending team pay to add Jordan Eberle to their top six forwards? He's 24 years old still. It feels like he's been around forever. No playoff games yet.
Look pretty good here.
But yeah, you
look pretty good here playing on that second line instead of Daniel Winnick.
Holzer and Winnick. And throwing a pick and a prospect. I love the pick and prospect.
We're back in on the World Series. The show goes on as well. Randall the Handle will join us at 7:45. Your look at the NFL lines coming up for Week 8 begins with a great Thursday nighter on Sportsnet Ontario tonight, San Diego and the Denver Broncos. We're giving you a chance to win as well. Hockey trip for two to Montreal from PartyPoker.net and the World Poker Tour. And Nova Kemp from Toronto, our newest qualifier for a chance to win, courtesy PartyPoker.net. We will announce another one tomorrow. Get your name in to win at Sportsnet590.ca.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Good morning, Brady and Walker, 7:42. We will talk about the NFL Week 8 coming up. Begins with a pretty good Thursday nighter, San Diego, Denver. Randall the Handle joins us in about 4 or 5 minutes from now. Also, a nice tribute south the border. It's sometimes easy to forget that we are joined at the hip with the USA, and they paid tribute last night at the Penguins-Flyers game. It was nice to see.
They did. It was a great job. Oh, Canada, Maple Leaf on the ice. There's people that'll be wanting some U.S. arenas to do it tonight, and maybe they should. There are people upset that they didn't acknowledge it at the World Series last night. Like, going, yeah. I understand that they probably should have, and maybe they'd want that one back, but I'm not going to exhaust anger and aggressive emotion about it.
Yeah, you know? It's kind of anti-Canadian to go, or un-Canadian to go, you know, pick it because the World Series didn't make mention. I did see the official at Major League Baseball Twitter account had tweeted
they did
something.
Mention it, yeah. On air yesterday in Toronto. Now he's in Ottawa. John Stahl, 680 News' political reporter, who's joined us before, has the latest. John, what we know so far this morning is it sounds like almost all the members of Parliament will meet around 8:30, 9 o'clock to honor the passing of Corporal Nathan Cirillo. They will be at the base of the monument and the tomb of the unknown soldier this morning. That's what we know, and then they will go in and resume caucus, correct?
Yes, that's what's going to happen. The caucuses will resume. Well, actually, the caucus meetings took place yesterday, but they'll go through the full House of Commons today and probably have the question period, which will be very different than normal because under other circumstances, you might have the opposition continuing to question the Prime Minister about Canada's involvement in the fight against terror and sending U.S. troops over to the Middle East. Very significant that you just mentioned during the hockey game last night, or referring to the hockey game last night, how much Canada and U.S. has joined at the hips. Good point to make here on the political level for those who wonder why the Prime Minister and the President of the United States talk as often as they did, including yesterday, and why this Prime Minister feels compelled to join the United States in the alliance to fight ISIS in the Middle East. It is an incredibly tight relationship. And as we saw yesterday, the entire episode developed. The President of the United States was very much involved in this process, being briefed by Canadian officials and by his own security staff to understand what exactly is happening on the Canadian borders, which is just outside of the United States. So for anybody to think for a second that Canada cannot be part of a terrorist protection perimeter around North America, I think yesterday was a pretty good indication as to why that can't happen.
Jamie Pulfer, our guest reporter, 680
John
News.
Stahl,
oh, sorry, John
yep.
Stahl.
Yep.
Pardon me. Can you answer me this? And I wonder how much of a sense of finality there is to this. I'm watching television yesterday, and for all I know, as an observer, you're hearing all this info roll in, and you're worried that there's shooters on the loose, and there's 2, 3, 4 incidents, and I see the live shots just like you, John, and I see SWAT teams running around pointing their guns up at roofs, and you're wondering what is happening. Have we completely moved past that there are other accomplices, or how fluid is this situation still?
None of us know to answer that question, because that is the nature of the kind of homegrown terror that this is being characterized as at the moment. I think the days ahead will tell that story, which is why everybody is still on such high alert, including military installations, by the way, right across the country. Those are training colleges. These are bases in Borden, right out to the West Coast. Just given the nature of the events that have taken place this week, because there were two of them, no one knows whether or not this is a terrorist rollout. Is it a different kind of terror? Is it a one day at a time, one single individual using different methods? The first one this week, a car running down armed Air Force personnel in a shopping mall, and the second, a blatant attack against a soldier, first at the War Museum and then a gunman in the Parliament of Canada. No one should, and the authorities are suggesting, let their guard down now. This could be a week where it's a rollout. No one is suggesting it is, but that's the nature of terror. You don't know this. They don't necessarily use the same procedures the same way.
John Stahl is in Ottawa. Excellent job on air yesterday. I was very fixated and sat in my car in the driveway listening to you guys talk in the 11 o'clock hour on it, and we know you'll do great work today. Thanks for this, John.
Okay, man.
John Stahl joining us on Brady and Walker. It is one of those things also, the security of Parliament. I don't think you can bring it up enough, and people say, hey, there's a terrible tragedy that happened, and I say, I understand that. I'm not minimizing that. I'm not grieving on that. But we did that. Again, this isn't Canada's 9/11. It's not. But, Andrew, we also said that there's terrible loss of life in 9/11, and yet 2 days later, it's okay to say, we got to get something where you can't come onto an airplane with a box cutter.
Right.
We have to do that. We have to make our airports safer for people to travel. I flew 9 days after 9/11 to Atlanta, Georgia, to a wedding, and yeah, it takes 3 hours to get on the plane. People say, "Were you afraid?" No, I couldn't have possibly been more safe at that point in time.
It was safest place to be.
Yeah,
place to be.
14 years later, I haven't given it a second thought. I'm more worried about engine failure than I am someone hijacking me. We get back to the NFL tonight, and I think it's going to be an exciting game, and we're excited to watch it. And we talked about this is a great transition because we talked about the moral, the moral victory idea that San Diego can keep it close tonight. Randall the Handle joins us now. Of course, the bottom line with Jory Mittelstadt, brought to you by BetTheGreek.net. We were saying earlier, Randall, how the Chargers keeping this close and at least going punch for punch with the Broncos and making a real game of this. I'm not a big believer in moral victories in sports, but it may say something about San Diego if they can hang. We'll believe a lot more in their playoff potential if they can hang with them. If it's 21-0 after the first quarter, we're all going to wonder if the Chargers are for real or not.
Well, they gave Denver a game last year. They won in here. They won at Denver last year, and the year before they had lost by 7. So for them, no, it's not a moral victory. They're fighting for this division at this point. They're a very good football team, and it would be very easy to back the San Diego side. This was a very tough game for me. The number keeps going up. It opened 7.5, and money is coming in on the Broncos. It's up to 8.5 right now. But that's understandable as well. I mean, after watching Denver last week, which a lot of people did, you just saw them play with such ease, and their offense is clicking, and then you've got DeMarcus Ware now on defense. And that's the way I'm leaning tonight, and I hate laying these kind of points against a good San Diego team, but you got San Diego traveling again. They're off a loss, which, you know, has to sting a little bit. And they're playing a team that just has it going on. And that's what concerns me. This offense, Peyton Manning, is just in a groove. And he's got all these weapons to throw to. And they're at home. And they've covered their last two at home at big numbers, 9.5 and 6.5 over San Francisco, who they really ripped apart. So I lean to the Broncos in this one. You know, if San Diego covered, is it a surprise? Of course not. They really are a quality football team. But they're hurting as well, and that's another concern for tonight. You can't be hurting when you play the Broncos. Broncos are rather healthy at the moment. Ronnie Hillman doing a good job replacing Monty Ball. So I'm going to lean Broncos.
Randall the Handle joins us, Brady and Walker. I know on your show you guys do talk about line value at times, and I wonder if we're not getting that here. With the Chicago-New England game early on Sunday, Chicago is getting 7 points in this one. And go back, I don't know, 3-4 weeks, Randall, and if you were to project this spread, it wouldn't have been close to 7. It would probably have been more like 3.5 or 3, right?
It's such a finicky league. We've used that word a lot, and it's true. I mean, people change their minds week to week. The Bears are supposed to win a game at home against Miami. They get clobbered, and now everybody's down on them again. But that's where opportunity lies, and like you said, value. And that's what we're always looking for, is value. And there's value on the Chicago team. Now, not to take anything away from New England, because they're playing better. Things seem to have turned around after they beat Cincinnati, right after they got clunked by Kansas City. But you also got to look at New England's schedule lately. They've played these AFC teams, including Cincinnati, who's slumping ever since. Their two games after that were against Buffalo and the Jets. Now they have an NFC team, and guess who they play next week? Guess who's coming for a visit? Peyton Manning and the Broncos. So, you know, it's just a little bit of a letdown spot, a look-ahead spot, maybe a spot where they're not as focused as they should be. Very well could be. I expect Chicago to take the field. They've not been a good favorite, New England, and now they're missing Mayo, and they're missing their running back, Stephen Ridley. They only ran for 63 yards last week. I think the Bears get well in this game, and an upset wouldn't even surprise me.
Randall Handel, 752 on Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We have about 45 seconds. Green Bay, New Orleans, the night game Sunday. Has the Saints at home at the Superdome is a 1.5 favorite. This to me is like we're Lions and they're like dangling a giant stake over the edge. They want us to take the Packers. What does this line tell us about the belief in New Orleans, who couldn't get anything? They just couldn't hold a lead against the Lions on Sunday.
You know, you could almost say the same about this game and Cincinnati game. New Orleans has won 19 straight at home. They've covered 17 of those games. They pushed once. They've only had one non-cover. That was a couple weeks ago against Tampa Bay. And now they're 1 point. Doesn't matter who they're playing. They got to be 1 point. They're at home. They never lose at home. You only got to give a point. I understand people are excited about Green Bay right now, the way they're playing, and Rodgers is playing at a very high level, MVP level. But that's, again, the NFL. You forget, and New Orleans doesn't lose at home. Cincinnati hasn't lost at home in a year and a half. They're only a point over Baltimore. I mean, to me, again, value. Cincinnati given a point. New Orleans given a point. They just got to win the game, and they don't lose at home.
Yeah, that's a bit.
You got to go that way. It doesn't matter who they're playing.
Until they prove you wrong, right? You got to stick with them. Yeah.
You almost forget they were an unbeaten team at home last year. We all fuss about Seattle at home. We've done that for a long time.
Denver, too.
And they haven't lost this year at home. I mean, they tied, but they haven't lost there.
Yeah, it's been a house of horrors for every other team going in there. We'll be listening on Sunday, Randall. Thanks for this.
Thanks, guys.
Chargers Broncos are tonight, 8:00 on Sportsnet. We'll talk a lot more about the games tomorrow, and do our Terrible 10, of course, at 8:40. Chance for $150 in Bills tickets, courtesy of Bodog.net. And there's that early Sunday game at Wembley Stadium we get a 9:30 a.m.
Yes, it's
treat.
Like being back west again.
It's like Halloween candy a week early. Lions and Falcons at 9:30 a.m.
We were so down on the Thursday nighter. We've got two dynamite games in a row. Can we make it? 3 with the Chargers and Broncos tonight. Catch it on Sportsnet Ontario beginning at 8. We have Toronto and Buffalo Sabres tickets to give away to you. Your third and final clue is coming up at 8:14. And when we come back, CBC's Peter Mansbridge joins us at 8:02. He was a rock star yesterday. It was really good to watch.
And Joe Bowen lived this mere meters from everything that transpired. And the inspiration of all our responders and of course, the tragedy that did take place. MPs will meet at the War Monument, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, at 8:30 this morning in a sign of Canadian unity, a show of Canadian unity, and then resume regular caucus meetings inside Parliament.